life events and sexual risk behavior among adolescents and young adults in an employment training program. Dr. Turner.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you for sticking around. We're in the home stretch here. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about adult populations and HIV-related outcomes. Today I'm going to be talking to you about sexual risk behavior among adolescents and young adults, specifically the Association with Stressful Life Events in Baltimore, Maryland. My presenters, Carl Atkin and Dr. Tannen, couldn't be here today, but they are still at Johns Hopkins while I'm at Columbia now. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So high school dropout is a national problem. And across the U.S., there are thousands of students that have dropped out of high school that are disconnected from school and work. Now, here are just some stats for Baltimore City, where this sample is taken from. In 2000, 1,000 students dropped out of high school in Baltimore City. That number sort of fluctuates between 1,000 and 1,600 each year. So you can only imagine how this pool of students that are out of school keeps growing. And the four-year adjusted cohort graduation rate in Baltimore City was 62% compared to 82% for Maryland. So in general, Baltimore City does have a larger problem with youth dropping out of school than in the state. And out-of-school youth are an underserved and at-risk population for several reasons. They're more likely to engage in sexual risk behavior, which clearly, you know, puts them at risk for STIs and HIV infection. Studies have shown they're more likely to initiate sex earlier, less likely to use condoms, more likely to become pregnant. And they also are at risk for psychosocial factors, which are clear determinants of sexual risk behavior. Out-of-school youth are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. Excuse me. They're more likely to have psychiatric disorders such as depression and anxiety. The Department of Education estimates that 50% of students with these sort of psychiatric disorders drop out of high school. They're also more likely to experience stressful life events. In the literature, stressful life events have been examined both as discrete events, meaning just looking at sexual abuse or just looking at divorce or violence. And then they also have been examined as a total number of stressful life events, which gives you a more complete picture of the type of stressors that a youth may face in addition to these sort of individual stressors. And out-of-school youth are more likely to experience a whole host of stressful life events. So the aim of this particular analysis is to look at the association between the total number of stressful life events and specific categories of stressors and sexual risk behavior. So the questions we're interested in is, what's the likelihood of engaging in sexual risk behavior as the stressful life events that you experience and these specific categories of stressors increase? So these are all measured continuously, and I'll talk more about those later. But the specific categories of stressors we're looking at here are neighborhood stressors, familiar stressors, and material stressors. And this sort of adds to and extends the literature that's already been done, because most of the time, like I said, stressful life events are looked at discreetly. So just looking at neighborhood violence or just looking at parental divorce. So we really are trying to create a more complete picture here of the role of stressors in sexual risk behavior. So just to kind of give you an idea of what our sort of conceptual framework or perspective is in going into this analysis, clearly, it's less likely that stressful life events directly cause sexual risk behavior. And the model that we're testing here isn't even a causal model. But what we would like to show is that the environmental conditions or the structural factors, the context within which people live, does affect their behavior. And, you know, there's a growing body of literature about environmental and structural level factors being an important determinant of behavior. And this is just to add to that literature. So our primary outcome here is sexual risk behavior. We're using secondary data from the baseline study of the HOPE study, which is the parent study. And the sample are 680 youth that were enrolled in
the YO program, which is an employment training program. And we only wanted to analyze sexual risk behavior, so sexually inexperienced youth were excluded, which was about 10% of the total population. So just a little bit more about the parent study. This was a mental health intervention aimed at reducing depressive symptoms. It was done through the Johns Hopkins Center for Adolescent Health, and it was a study that took place in two youth employment training centers, which were funded by the City of Baltimore, specifically geared towards providing GED services, employment training, employment placement services to youth that were out of school. And there was a specific neighborhood that you had to live in, which were known as empowerment zones, which were the most devastated, disadvantaged neighborhoods in the city that you had to live in order to qualify to be a part of this training program. And the training program consisted of case management. There was a mental health counselor on board. There were, GED instructors. And so we actually went to the YO Center and recruited youth for this particular study, and this is the data that's being used in this particular analysis. There's two sites. The majority of the youth were recruited at the East Side site compared to the West Side site, although, like I said, for both programs, you did have to be in a low-income neighborhood, so the low-income neighborhoods were similar between the East and West Side. Like I said, these are out-of-school sexually active youth between 16 and 22 years old. It's about an equal number of males and females, and the majority were African-American. So recruitment procedures, like I said, between 700 and 800 members were contacted by our staff by phone. The majority were contacted or recruited at the actual YO Center. Foster care children were excluded, and informed consent was obtained. And the data that you see here are from an ACASI survey that all youth who enrolled in the project took, and they were all compensated for their participation. So here is just a list of the measures that we used from the ACASI survey that the youth took. Demographics for our mental health measures, we used continuous measures of depression using the CSD, anxiety using the BEC, and substance use using the YRBS question of if you ever used any drug in the past month. And so the drugs that were included here are cocaine, heroin, marijuana, ecstasy, and methamphetamines. Stressful life events, we used a continuous scale of 29 items that asked about, I think I have it here, just to give you a sense of the different items in the scale, about neighborhood violence, sort of normal transitional events like moving or changing schools, and then also events that were specifically related to living in a disadvantaged environment, such as neighborhood violence, having few clothes to wear, or little food to eat, seeing someone shot. So for sexual risk behavior, we looked at number of lifetime sex partners, and the crocodile use, it was just what method did you use at last sex, and then age of sexual debut. So then we also created these specific stress categories that were based upon a factor analysis that we did of that previous scale. So there were three domains that emerged from the factor analysis, and we used a loading cutoff of 0.4 to determine which items would be included under each domain. So here, for neighborhood stressors, we created these three different subscales that represent the total number of items that were endorsed under each scale. So for neighborhood stressors, it really is violence-related stressors, crime-related stressors, family, having to take care of yourself, parental separation, material stressors, having little food to eat, having few clothes to wear, and these were all continuous. So they represent, in the analysis, increasing numbers of each of those items. So for our analysis, we use baseline data, as I said. Just for ease of interpretation, we use the median number of sexual partners, which was 5 as our cutoff. So we created a binary variable where you either have 5 or more partners or 4 or less. Age of sexual debut, we also use the median as our cutoff just for ease interpretation, which was 15 years or older. We did exploratory analysis using chi-square and ANOVA. And in our main analysis, we did logistic regression models. And then we also used created interaction terms to test for gender differences in the association between stressful life events and sexual risk behavior. So just some descriptive characteristics of our sample. The majority of our sample had dropped out between 9th and 11th grade. You see 70% there. The majority, or 60%, did use a condom at last sex, and this was significantly different between males and females, where we see that males were more likely to report using a condom at last sex. The median number of lifetime sex partners was around 5, and we see that 65%, and these are all youth between the ages of 16 and 22, had at least 5 sexual partners, 5 or more sexual partners, and this did differ between males and females, where males were more likely to report more sex partners, and there were also differences in gender for sexual debut, where females were more likely to delay sexual intercourse, and then also substance use. We see that males were more likely to report past month substance use. There were also differences in depression scores. This was using the CSD, where females were more likely to report more depression symptoms than males, and also anxiety symptoms compared to males. So stressful life events. We see that the 65% of our sample had 10 or fewer stressful life events in the past year, and about 40%, or the majority actually, had experienced one or more type of violence, neighborhood violence stressor in the past year, and only for neighborhood violence was it higher among males than females, where males were more likely to report being exposed to neighborhood violence. And then also we see the percentage, the majority also reported family-related stressors, and for poverty-related stressors, about 30% reported that in the past year they had little food to eat or few clothes to wear. So this is the results of our adjusted and unadjusted regression analyses. The significant results are in bold. We see for condom use that after adjustment for symptoms of depression, anxiety, substance use, age, and gender, that none of the stressors, total stressful life events or subcategories of stressors were associated with condom use. However, for lifetime partners, there was a relationship that was significant and remained even after adjustment, where you see for all of the stress variables here that experiencing them made it more likely that you would have a greater number of sexual partners, and this is again controlling for age. For sexual intercourse, which was interesting, only neighborhood violence seemed to be significantly associated with initiating sex earlier. So then these are the results of the same analysis, but with an interaction term included, and the asterisks here highlight the significant results of the interaction term that shows that there were significant differences in males and females for these relationships, and I'm only showing the relationships that were significant here, where for males, the total number of stressful life events were significantly associated with condoms, but it wasn't associated with it for females. And there was obviously significant differences between them in those relationships. For neighborhood stressors, we see again males that experience neighborhood stressors are significantly more likely to report not using a condom at last sex. For the females, that this relationship wasn't significant. And then also it was significant, but it was just in the opposite direction, which is interesting, showing that the effect of being exposed to violence or witnessing violence does have different impacts on people by gender. And then for poverty material stressors, we see the males were again significantly more likely. Those that reported poverty material stressors to not use a condom at last sex, and then for females this wasn't significant. And for neighborhood stressors, again, it was significantly associated with early sexual initiation among males and not females. And again, the significance there shows that this was different between males and females. So here are in conclusion, our results show that stressful life events were associated with multiple sexual partners, and there's several possible mechanisms that could explain this. It could be that did you just flash me a card? Oh, flash again? Oh, okay. I didn't see which one it was. Okay, thanks. So stress can impact the stability of social relationships, which could impact the number of lifetime partners that you amass. Sex can be used as a form of coping. So it may not even be that you're in an intimate relationship and you're just amassing these partners. It could just be, or you know, boyfriends or girlfriends, but you're just, you know, having casual sex and you're using it as a form of coping. Going back to the framework that I showed you earlier, what I think this really gets at is showing the importance of the environment, of the social and cultural environment. And this environment produces norms that can encourage sexual promiscuity and risky behavior. So it's not just that they're experiencing stressful life events, it's the fact that they're living in these neighborhoods where, you know, there's all kinds of other risk factors and peer group attitudes and less social sanctions that may make it more challenging to engage in sexual risk behavior, parental monitoring, all of these things that are more likely to be a problem in these disadvantaged neighborhoods where they're also more likely to experience stressors. Family and material stressors were associated with not using a condom. You know, it could be linked to affordability of condom use. The family has always been a huge determinant of sexual risk behavior, and this could be related to norms of sexual behavior within the family, could, you know, lead to sexual risk behavior due to the fact that there's, you know, less parental monitoring in the family, because for the familial stressors, this included having like a family member that uses drugs, and these are sort of dysfunctional things that may put less parameters or controls in place that could limit sexual behavior. Also, neighborhood stressors were associated with early sexual debut, which is interesting. So the limitations of this study is obviously we can't make causal inference. This is a cross-sectional study. A huge limitation is inconsistent time frames of the measures. So, I mean, this goes back to temporality. So we can't say which one came first. So we're looking at stressors in the past 12 months. We're looking at lifetime sexual partners, although it's over a short period of time because this is a very a small age range of youth, just between 16 and 22. But, you know, additional studies clearly are needed with measures that look at the temporal ordering of stressors and sexual risk behavior. But what it does show, in spite of these limitations, is, you know, the importance of the structural environment, of stressors in the environment, and it emphasizes the need to do more research in this particular area. We use proxy measures of sexual risk behavior. Of course, we only assess symptoms and not actual psychiatric diagnoses, and it was just limited to depression and anxiety. There could be other disorders that could impact this relationship that weren't examined here. And, of course, these results are not generalizable to all out-of-school youth. These youth self-selected into an employment training program, either for GED services or for employment training. And this particular analysis doesn't include homosexual activity only because such a small percentage reported engaging in same-sex behavior in this particular sample. I already talked about future research. So, in conclusion, the results of this study show that chronic and daily stressors are associated with sexual risk behavior and the importance of structural factors and examining structural determinants of sexual risk behavior. And it shows that youth in these employment training programs, specifically youth that are out of school, are a high-risk population, and they need comprehensive services that address the whole host of physical, sexual, and mental health needs. And it does point to the need for both structural and behavioral interventions. So structural interventions to try to impact the environment around them, specifically related to violence, which is a huge problem in these neighborhoods where these youth are from. And also coping and risk reduction skills. So although the instructional environment may be less amenable to change, you can teach youth skills to help them cope with these stressors so that they may have better health outcomes. This study was funded by the National Institute of Mental Health. We want to thank our staff at the Center for Adolescent Health at Johns Hopkins. And I think that's it. Any questions? Thank you. Thank you for sticking around. Yes.
I think it'd be nice to see the models not just of mental health measures, because they may be mediating the effect of stressful events on behavior, and so you may be losing that effect if you include that in the models.
Right. Well, I did show the unadjusted here. So, I mean, that's an excellent point, and I think the only reason why we specifically adjusted for these is because they're so strongly associated with both of our independent variables. So we put both in there just to kind of see, like you said, how it would perform without those in there.
And the other comment I had was just the list of stressful life events.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's kind of unfortunate with a lot of studies that you're limited to this population. You can't say, you know, in a youth training program in Baltimore County, for example, how different that is. You know, you're just sort of limited to making inferences with this population alone.
Right. But this, I mean, it's surprising, but then again, it's not. I mean, I worked in the neighborhood, in the neighborhoods at the Yost Center, and it's rough. You know, I mean, these, again, to be in the center, you have to be in the worst neighborhoods. They're located in neighborhoods that have been uprooted by, you know, lots of things. This particular one particular center is by Johns Hopkins. So there's been a lot of uprooting of residents to build things. And so it's sort of like, you know, it's just a devastated area. Like the people that live there are very, you know, disadvantaged. And so, the fact that they experience these things is you know, it's not surprising. And so if you go to other neighborhoods, clearly, you know, I didn't even highlight the percentages here, but clearly you wouldn't expect to see things like 30% reporting or 40%, 37% seen or been around people shooting guns, or 36% actually seen someone beaten or shot. I mean, this is just shocking to most people that aren't necessarily from that area. Any other questions? Yes.
Questions for any of the other
presenters? I was wondering how you define sexual debut, whether it was just vaginal sex or the oral and anal sex.
That's a great question. We define it based upon how the question that we took directly from the youth risk behavioral surveillance survey. So it just said sexual intercourse. So we didn't specifically differentiate between oral versus vaginal versus anal.
So self-defined.
Yes, it was just, yeah, it was self-defined, however the person interpreted the question. Another question I saw.
Neighborhood, perhaps some of these kids should almost be clustered by
And that's a great question, and definitely an important area in sort of the next waves of this research. And I think it's even more important because of this fact. We know that a lot of the youth in the center refer their friends. So it's likely, again, if you think about that their friends are maybe more likely to be their neighbors or people that are in close proximity to them, that there would be some clustering that's going on here. And so we definitely are looking into sort of multi-level modeling and trying to figure out a way to best, you know, measure that and capture that in a model.
Thank